Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Maggie Petrie from Rental Management Australia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now today we're talking rentals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Okay, and rental management. Okay, so what do we need to know, what do we need to consider when we are looking at an investment property?
The first thing is that Perth is currently in its most competitive market it's ever been in. So we have a 7.3% vacancy rate at the moment, which is the highest we've seen. So in real numbers, that transfers to almost 10,700 empty rental properties in the Perth Metro. So very, very competitive. So price and presentation are everything.
So if you're going to renovate, do it right.
Yes, absolutely.
And that way you're in the game to get that tenant that will enjoy being in your property.
So what are the key areas in a home that need to be renovated to attract that client, that tenant?
Well, there's a lot of compliance around rental properties, particularly in WA. One of the main ones is if you're getting some electrical work done, at the same time, make sure that your Sparky checks out your RCDs and smoke alarms. They have to be compliant under the law now if the property was built before 2011. So if he can provide you with documentation saying that you're compliant, then that will make it much easier for you if you do have to prove compliance, or if you're with a property manager who's doing best practice.
Okay.
And then you've got safety issues and the security issues. So the actual locking up of that property and the security on windows and doors.
Correct. So there's a security compliance around that now. So you have to have window locks, or at least they have to be not able to be opened from the outside, and you do have to have deadbolts for any external doors.
Yep. And with deadbolts, keep in mind as well the safety issue. So if you're going to have a key locked deadlock, try not to do a double deadlock, which is where you key it from both sides. On the outside, have it keyed. On the inside, have a keyed snib. So that way, if someone's in the house and there is a fire, all they've got to do is flick the snib and get out. Whereas with the deadlocks, if they're keyed from the inside, they've got to find the key and unlock that door to get out. And when there's a fire, they're not thinking. So the safest deadlock you can have is one where there's a snib internal and a keyed outside. So, and you can get the ones where there's snibs with the keyed options. So if they're going away.
So the snib, what is a snib?
It's literally, if you think on any door handle when you're going in and out of your main door, it's the little latch on the back, I suppose you can call it. So it's the little turntable. Yep. Is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
You don't actually use a key to lock it from the inside.
It's like a little knob, like an oblong knob sort of a thing.
Oh, yes.
Yep, and you just turn it left or turn it right to actually lock the door and unlock the door. That's a lot safer when you're at home at night. You can still deadlock your door using one of those. But at least if something happens, and you know, obviously you don't want this to happen, but in the case of something like a fire, you just literally unlock the door and get out and say, you know, look after yourself and your pets and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I put pets before children? but you get out there and
we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, you look after yourselves first, because we've already spoken about insurance.
Yes.
So your property is insured. Look after yourself first. If you have to find that key and try and unlock it when you're, you know, trying to make sure everyone else is safe, it takes you a lot longer to get out. So the safety part of it.
That's an interesting question. If you are in a rental property, you have your contents insured, but if you have had a break-in and you find out that the owner hasn't been compliant in terms of the security, what happens with your insurance then?
It depends on the policy, but obviously insurers don't pay out really easily. So you would have to prove that you've done your due diligence there. So there's no point having an insurance policy if you're going to be lax about making sure that everything was in place.
The Department of Commerce, we spoke about the Department of Commerce right at the beginning for renovating and for builders, but also for the real estate, they do have an actual booklet that you can download on being a tenant in a rental property. And that's full of valuable information. So, you know, if you are going to rent a property and you've not done it before, you're not aware of all the requirements, or even if you've been renting for years and still don't realise, go and download that, because that's valuable information. And
there's a landlord's one as well.
Yeah.
So,
because you'd expect an agency to know this and be compliant and make sure that the owner is up to date and what they need to know.
Correct.
But there are still people who are...
So the landlords have got their own documents. So if you are renting the property privately, then there is that document as well, as Maggie said, that the Department of Commerce have on their website. Download that and make sure you adhere to all that. And also see that the fact that you are responsible for a lot, just because you've got a tenant in there, doesn't mean that your hands, you know, you can wipe your hands of the place. You can't.
Well, as the tenant, if you do get your hands on this document and you find that there are, you know, quite a few shortcomings, what are your rights in terms of going to the owner and saying, listen, you know, I have been here for this amount of time, but I've just realised that you need to do X, Y and Z?
If they bring it to the owner's attention and it's definitely shown that the property is not compliant under the law as a rental property, then it should be actioned by the landlord or the property manager to get those situations addressed. But if they're not having any joy there, then they can go to the Department of Commerce, which is now called the Department of Mines and a whole bunch of other stuff now.
Oh, have they changed it again?
Yeah, okay. They have.
So, I still call it DOSEP.
You would not even be able to make a word out of its
kind. No. So the actual, this is why when we're renovating, you make sure you've got you're all compliant. We've already spoken to the electricians and the plumbers and the security guys, so we've already discussed all of that. So what Maggie's saying is, make sure you've listened to those trades, because the Sparkies know what they need to do to be compliant, and then the security window treatments and that, your property managers definitely know what needs to be done there. And if you are renting privately or leasing the property privately, then do your due diligence and make sure that you have got the property compliant before you start renting it out. So,
well, one of the big things we have spoken about on a previous episode are your window treatments.
Correct.
Now,
so there is a compliance around window treatments now, particularly they're talking about the length of any cords associated with those treatments. So they have to be a minimum of 160 centimetres from the ground, or they, or you have to provide an anchor so that they can go
cleat,
up high.
As Sandy called it. So, yes. So, yeah, there is those requirements in place. So, and that's the thing, that the right trades will know those requirements, and the property managers, they have trades as well. So if you are working with a project property manager, and you're doing a renovation, then they can put you on. And or you work with a project consultant who actually can help you get the project done on behalf of the property manager. So there's
and
so
someone
many
like a property manager or someone like a project manager managing a renovation, because we're using trades all the time, we can usually get a job done faster and for a better price.
Correct, definitely.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the upgrades or improvements we need to do on a rental property. What's the first thing we need to look at?
Well, I'm going to jump in here because I'm going to put it back to the owner now and say, what would you want if you were renting your property? A lot of the times owners don't think about what it'd be like living in there themselves. They just think, oh, we'll do the bare minimum. Walk through a property yourself. Remember at the beginning we said do the checklist? Walk through the property yourself. If it's an investment property, ask yourself, what would you want in this property to live in it yourself as a tenant? Well, whether it's a tenant, but if you were wanting to live in it and you were renting this property, what would you want to see? So, I suppose a nice kitchen is the first and foremost one that...
Nice kitchens really do help a lot, and so do nice bathrooms. They don't have to be flash, but if they are nice and modern
and clean,
that's a big one, then that's going to have a lot more appeal, especially when you're competing against so many other properties at the moment.
And we've spoken about LED lighting with the Sparky, and having LED lighting there, the benefit for the property manager is there's no globes for any tenant to have to change, because a tenant has to change their globes or make sure all the lights are working before they leave. Well, LED lighting, it negates all of that. So it makes the job for the property manager a lot easier, a job for the owner and a job for the tenant so much easier. So LED lighting's a really good one, and that's not an expensive thing. The downlights, as we've already spoken about, are very easy to install. So the Sparky can do a job quite cheaply for you.
And downlights are great because they also are so nice and low profile. So someone can come into the property and put their own things in the property and make it feel like home. Whereas if you've got some old fancy five in the lounge room and
pendants.
and a weird sort of bug collection of in the bottom of your oyster, then that's going to put people off. So if you can go that way, that's really great. It also saves the tenant on electricity, and they're aware of that now. So that's another point.
And there's no hazard as well, no fire hazard as
well
with
them.
That's the beauty of them, as we've said. And then we've got painting. That's always
painting is a huge thing. So the first thing, Sue and I have talked about this, please get away from the feature walls, you know, doing the bold colour somewhere. It might be really appealing to you, but you want to appeal to a much broader market. It's yes. much better to do something neutral and bright all the way through, nice and light.
And the same colour all the way through.
All the way through, yep. So, yeah, they can put their own accents for colour in their furnishings and things like that. It's much easier for them to picture themselves in that property then.
And we've spoken to Gilly and we talked about patios and we did mention that even with a rental property, just having somewhere undercover to sit outside, even with the rain, we like to go outside or as she said, her husband was a smoker, so somewhere to go because, you know, rental properties, you can't smoke inside rental properties. No. It's not allowed. So if there is a smoker that's rented the property, they need somewhere to go. You know, a patio's a nice thing and not just for smokers, and I'm not condoning that, but what I'm saying is the tenant is renting that property, they are paying that rent to you, and they have the right to live there in enjoyment and peace and quiet. So make it comfortable for them, because you do everything right for this tenant and you will get a good tenant, a good quality tenant, and a tenant that will probably want to stay there a long time, which is better for you as an owner.
Well, we've spoken about most things. What about floor coverings?
It is such a good one, isn't it?
It is. I just had this question yesterday from an owner.
Now, we've had Trevor's Carpets on in a previous episode, and they actually, we talked about the carpets, the luxury vinyl tiles, it's now called, and all sorts of things. Now, tiles are obviously, you know, they're the longevity product that everyone loves. But the grout does discolour easy. They're easy to maintain, but they are also easy to chip. The luxury vinyl tiles, which has come into its own, it is a commercial grade product that's been brought to the residential market. That is a really good one for rental properties because it's so easy to, if there's a damaged tile, which, you know, these are 5 to 8 mil thick, so you don't have the noise factor. And if you're on a two-story, you don't have you've got all the acoustic qualities for units as well. They're the best things for units because you've already got that acoustic quality. If you get damaged, it's easy to replace. And then there's carpet, which tenants have to dry clean, have to get cleaned professionally.
Yes, they do. So if you're just going to the market for the first time, if you haven't put new carpets in, do get them professionally cleaned and give your property manager or hold on to your receipt from that, because that's good evidence for them at the end of the tenancy to say, well, this is how you got the carpet, so this is how we'd like them back.
Yeah, so carpets do have to be cleaned, professionally cleaned when you get out. So obviously for a tenant, if they're vacating the property, luxury floor tiles, as Matthew reminded us, are a lot easier to clean, maintain and have looking good all the way through.
They do stay nice, and also there's a lot of people that are aware of sort of allergens and things now, so that really does come into play. And the other thing is that if you want to flip a property quickly between tenancies, it's a lot easier if you don't have to deal with cleaning carpets.
Correct. Because you've got, especially in this period when it's nice and wet, as we've been talking about, carpets do take time to dry, and they do need to dry thoroughly. You can't actually just rush someone in because you've got the issue then. You need to air the property out, the mould issue as well. Yep. It's a big factor. So, and that's another thing with rental properties, you know, and health, making sure that that's all gone as well. So painters, we've already spoken about, do all the anti-mould coverings in the bathrooms and that, and make sure it's painted properly. So you've got to think of all these little things. But
because mould is a big thing, isn't it?
Mould is a big thing.
Absolutely is, yeah.
All right, are there any other final tips we need to know?
We covered about getting landlord insurance briefly, but definitely shop around too when you're doing your landlord insurance. It's good if you've got a broker that you can really trust to find you something that's really going to tick all the boxes. There's lots of general insurers that offer general landlord protection policies, but the devil's in the details. So you want to make sure, especially at the moment, Perth is seeing, we just had a bit of professional development on this in my firm. Perth's definitely seeing a lot more lease breaks and rental arrears because of the economic constraints in the market. So you want to make sure that you are covered for those sort of contingencies in your policy.
And the other thing would be get a professional rental assessment done or appraisal done through like a manager listing agent, get them to do that. And
you need to price it correctly. Mm-hmm. So you can't just rely on, well, I had someone in there last year and they were paying this, so that's what I'll put it up for. Because, or even what's on realestate.com, I can tell you at the moment that probably 90% of the prices that are being asked for a property, especially on the first couple of pages because they're the newer listings, that's what they want. It's not what they're getting.
Mm. No.
So nearly always there's some haggling at the moment, so they will settle on a lower price. So you want to make sure that you're nice and competitive. And then if you are looking for a higher price, especially if you're with an agency that has a nice big tenancy database, you can always test the market for about 8 to 10 days, see if that big price is out there. But if not, you need to drop it back very quickly after that first 8 to 10 days, because otherwise you're just going to get your listing pushed down. And I think that's the other thing, is just be careful about where you're getting your tenants.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen a lot of private landlords advertising on Gumtree.
Yep.
Mm. Which I did surprise me, I've got to admit, it did surprise me. So, because to me, through Gumtree, people applying through that, they're not getting the rental checks done, because even if you're renting the property yourself, there are checks that can be done, but a managing agent will make sure that they're done properly. So, that actually did worry me a little bit, seeing these properties for rent through Gumtree.
Absolutely. There's oftentimes the people that are looking on Gumtree for a rental are not looking for an agent to manage them, because they've got something to hide. So a good agency should be running you through two different national tenancy databases to capture all the blacklists that are out there. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot of rapport between property managers in different agencies, just making sure that they don't get a bad tenant where possible.
And the database is kept up to date. Yep. And if a good tenant is definitely, you've got their history of tenancies on there, so... It's
wonderful.
Good to know. So do it right. If they're going to rent a property out, do it right. Make sure it's done right. Make sure it's compliant. And get help again. There's people out there that can help.
Mm, and you'll get a good tenant. Correct. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Maggie Petrie from Rental Management Australia.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.